Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Real as Yates podcast. We are your hosts, Paige Yates
and Taylor Yates.
And in this podcast, we share with you everything we know about real estate, Greater Boston, and life. And in case you're wondering, yes, we are in fact related. We are a top producing mother-son real estate agent team where we lead, surprise, the Yates team.
All right, Mom, how are you doing this week?
Good.
Anything new?
Not really. You know, April's kind of a funny month. It's a transition between sports.
Yeah.
So if you play a winter sport or ski or play paddle or whatever, it becomes your season.
It's kind of over. Like winter sports are kind of over, but spring, summer sports haven't started.
Yeah. It's kind of like golf. You know, it's rainy and still cold. So I kind of feel like it's my off month, as I would say.
Yeah.
Kind
of. It's your cross training month.
My cross training month. So unfortunately, I'm going to have to spend a lot more time with the machines downstairs.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Rather than be outside where I much prefer to be.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Cool.
Not much to report.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about historic homes again this week. We're talking about that all month. And this week, we're talking about best upgrades for historic homes. So, Mom, do you have any opinions on your typical historic home? What's the first upgrade that comes to mind?
Are we talking cosmetic or are we talking guts?
Anything.
So, I certainly think, you know, you got to figure out, make it more efficient. So, one of the interesting questions that comes up in historic homes, and one of the things that most people address because so many historic homes didn't have air conditioning, is they tend to address heating systems. And the biggest challenge I've seen with historic homes is so many of them had steam radiators. And many people either don't want to look at steam radiators. They prefer to have that additional wall space for cosmetics, tables, paintings, whatever. They have to add in air conditioning, so they want to put some sort of warm air system into the house. And a lot of people don't like the look of old steam radiators. For instance, in my house, I actually found a place in Cambridge that builds covers for the radiators.
Right.
You know, a lot of people are concerned for little kids touching them.
So
I think that heat and the type of heat you want and the combination of AC start the first foray into changes in a historic home.
Yeah. And you know, it's the AC thing I think is so critical because historically around here, AC was like air conditioning was just not that important. You needed it. You like needed it maybe like one day out of the year. And most people just like sucked it up and dealt with it. But you know, it's getting hotter up here. We get more super hot days every year. And so it's kind of like hard to make it through the summer without AC.
And a lot of people prefer it for health reasons, like allergies or, you know, they want to keep the windows shut so that plays into it as well. So that to me is a first step because that I think affects a lot in a house.
Yeah, it really affects your quality of life. I'll add another one. I think kitchens and bathrooms often need some sort of at least a facelift. Like the bathrooms you can usually get away with a facelift because they come with, you know, old vanities, old medicine cabinets, stuff like that. But, you know, in kitchens, right, I think we've talked about how like historic kitchens were not designed for the way we use kitchens today in a pretty fundamental way, right? You kind of, it is really hard to live a modern lifestyle in an antique kitchen. And I think the factors that are driving that are not going away. Like the reason that kitchens have become so important to our lives have been we have more dual income families, right? So we just don't have like a servant culture anymore. Very few people have just like a live-in help. And I don't see that coming back anytime soon. I think a lot more people just like enjoy cooking for themselves, right? Maybe that's a trend. I don't know. That's probably the most likely to go away. But those first two factors, I think, are not. Those are just economics.
Well, and the original historic kitchens were set up to not have anybody sit in them.
Yeah, or even see them.
So I also think in historic houses, there are two types of buyers, people that come in and look at the kitchen figure out how they're going to open up a wall to the next room to make the wall kind of a kitchen family room or kitchen eating area. And a lot of historic homes can definitely do that, can become more modernized and make it all work.
Yeah.
So I think the fixing up bathrooms to maintain the character and integrity of an old world charm is definitely doable today, because I think there's so many tiles out there that look similar, but are more modern, but look similar to what you would expect to see in an older home.
That's right.
So you can modernize the look, and you can do things like take old pieces of furniture and make them into vanities. Yeah. So the bathroom, I think, is solvable.
Right.
I think the kitchen takes a little bit of creative thinking.
Yeah.
And I think the heating, air conditioning is your first step.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, since you mentioned tile, I guess we should do a plug for Art of Tile of Stone in Wellesley, Paige's side hustle.
You know, I think that's something that people can change a look of a room pretty quickly by utilizing that.
Yeah, I tell my clients, for a realtor, I have bigger opinions on tile than most other agents, because our family is involved in the tile business. And people actually really appreciate it, because not a lot of people know, like, is this tile like weird, or is this just like the style and I don't know? So they like it when you say like, hey, don't worry about it. It's subway tile. It's not going anywhere.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Cool. And, you know, I think the other thing, like, let's keep coming back to the kitchen on these, because I think these are one of the hardest things about historic homes. Like, to really make some of these historic kitchens into modern kitchens, you really have to make a big choice, which is, are you going to combine it with an adjacent room, right? And some are so big, right? They're built for these, like, some are so big that you don't have to do that, right?
But your house is a perfect example.
But my house, it was not so big.
Well, you had a kitchen. And then right adjacent to your kitchen, you had a dining room. That's
right.
Historically what happens to people. They would cook the food, and then they would eat in the dining room.
Correct.
However, today's living is that space needs to all be together.
Right. Like nobody, it is no longer like gauche to be able to see your stove as you're eating.
Correct.
Right. So, yeah, and that's what we did in our house. And so that's probably the number one place that I see people combining their kitchens with other spaces. You know, some of them are in a corner, and so you've got a choice between the dining room and then maybe like a parlor and butler's pantry on the other side. But yeah, I think you have to make a choice. And I think to make all that work, if you have a really historic home, the important thing is preserving the carpentry, right? And so like whatever carpentry you can preserve, I think that's how you maintain the historic character as you do a pretty significant renovation.
Well, I think oftentimes in older homes, it's the kitchen, and then you have some sort of butler's pantry.
That's right.
And then you have another room, whether it's a dining room or could be a family room or whatever. So I think many people play into trying to keep some sort of pantry with the old glass windows and maybe butcher block, you know, countertops. Yeah. So they try to preserve that, and yet combine the spaces.
Absolutely. Cool. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll get a question from the audience. Did you know that Paige and I aren't just your favorite real estate podcast hosts? We're also pretty darn good at our day jobs too. With over 30 years experience and $1 billion sold in Greater Boston, we're real estate agents you can trust. If you're buying or selling a home, reach out to us at contact@yatesboston.com today. So, Mom, this may be a general question, but is maybe particularly true for historic homes. Do you recommend buyers move in before or after renovations are complete?
So, out of the gate, I would say if you have the finances and the time and a place to live during the renovation, I would say move in once it's done.
I agree.
I oftentimes think, though, people don't know what to do in there with the renovation, depending on the condition of the house, until you really live there.
Right.
And I found that in an older, we lived in an older house, and then we needed a kitchen family room. So some of the things that we needed became more apparent, and the amount of space became more apparent. So I think optimally, wait till it's all done. Practically, you may have to move in and move out.
Yeah.
But it's a process. It's a long process. So you have to have the stomach for it.
Yeah.
And the temperament for it.
Right. I'm going to double down on your, it comes down to money, right? So here's the thing. Like, if you were to do this in a vacuum, right, you're going to buy a historic home, you've got more money than you know what to do with. What I would do is, you know, we're buying the house, we're under contract. We typically have three visits between purchase and sale and closing. I would use those three visits to bring in, like, a contract, a good contractor you get a referral from your agent, a design, like an architect, and I'd start working on it. And then I would move in after all that work is complete. Because the thing is, like, when people, as a practical matter, when people do these renovations, what do they end up doing? They end up doing what, like, the experts recommend. And there's no reason to like wait to get an expert recommendation. I can just say from my experience, I had all these ideas about how my house was going to flow and stuff like that. And then I worked with an architect. I was like, oh, yeah, your idea is way better than mine.
Right.
So I don't necessarily, and so I'm getting back to, like, if you're trying to do this as conveniently as possible, that's how I do it. But it costs money, because then you got to live somewhere while your house is being renovated. And also when you purchase a house, right, you just laid out a lot of cash. You may be feeling, you may not feel like spending a lot more.
And historic houses typically have lots of unforeseen expenses.
Yeah.
Because you take down a wall or whatever. So it's a process.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the awesome question. If you're a curious cat, would like your question to be answered, you can just send us an email at contact@yatesboston.com or slide into our DMs at Yates Team Boston.
That's it for this week. Be sure to tune in next week wherever you find your podcasts. If you like this, be sure to like, subscribe, and give us that 5-star review. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at Yates Team Boston, or on the web at yatesboston.com.